All right, that was "The World Is Mine" by
what was her name again?
Hatsune Miku. Hatsune Miku. "The World Is Mine." The world's first virtual pop star.
Man, that is some crazy stuff.
Yeah, made by Yamaha's Vocaloid voice synthesizer. The voice that you heard there is entirely synthesized. It's not a pre-recorded
voice. Oh, so that
voice.
Was like one of the band members doing that?
No, no.
What?
It's just a synthesizer. Like, the voice is, it's fake.
Oh, I thought you meant like they were like they were live doing that voice.
No, like they typed the words into a computer and the computer sang it. Like, it's a computer's voice singing it, and then there's a live band playing along with it, and then there's a holographic image. If you haven't seen this, go on YouTube and search it, because you'd seriously think it would only be in a science fiction movie parodying the future about how ridiculous and silly the future is, that
back
a crowd
to the
of people
too.
Like Back to the Future 2, you'd see it in Back to the Future 2, people worshiping this virtual rock star, and you'd be like, haha, that's so funny in a comedy movie. But this is real.
Yeah. It's Japan, dude.
I know, but it's, I guarantee you, it'll come to America, but they'll just be way hotter. It won't be an anime cartoon. It'll be like Final Fantasy quality level of 3D animation. It'll be a super hot chick and.
Yeah, that live band's got to be, that's some talent, like, to be dead on like that. Like,
I know, totally.
You have to have a perfect performance, pretty much, to be,
unless
to they're, play along.
There might be somebody that's, like, that's, you know, somehow cueing the dance moves and the vocals rhythmically, though, right? Like, saying, like, hey, start this verse now, you know, and start that dance sequence now.
Yeah, maybe.
There might be a little bit of dynamicness to it, but yeah, definitely very talented musicians to be able to pull that off. Anyways, I think that's so trippy. Wow, are we ever living in the future?
Well, Japan is. Japan's so far ahead of us, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to go there so bad.
Yeah, no, the first time I ever really got a good look at what Tokyo looks like was in Kill Bill. And I was like, wow, that looks amazing. Like, everything was so shiny and colorful. And
they got some crazy, crazy stuff over there.
I know, I need to go. I'm not traveled enough.
Yeah, I've never been overseas, just been a lot of places down south. And
Costa Rica's the furthest I've gone. What's the furthest you've gone?
Furthest I've gone, Florida.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's probably that. But, yeah, that's our traveling experience.
I can tell you one thing for sure. Less than 1% of the population of Florida has been to Canada. I've lived in Florida. I know what those people are like. No offense to anybody in Florida, but you're an odd bunch.
You have a bit about that, don't you? About the snowing in Florida, where it snowed
that's not
day.
Just snow. Even in places as far north as Seattle, they will stop driving if it starts snowing.
Seattle?
Yeah.
Man, it's got to snow in Seattle all the time.
No, but if it's a really severe snowstorm, people leave their cars in the street and stop driving because there's no snowplows. Like, they don't get snowstorms severe enough to justify having snowplows.
Yeah, I could see that.
So they just stop. And in Florida, people can't, they don't have tires that are capable of driving even on a slightly wet, not wet, but icy road.
Yeah.
They let their cars literally just fly off the road. Except for the people that have, like, you know, good all-season tires, which is half the cars on the road, but half the cars have these terrible bald tires, super redneck.
Yeah.
This is in Jacksonville, at least.
Of course.
Anyways.
Yeah, anyway, we guess we should apologize for the downtime last week. My site went down, and I was just super lazy and didn't bother getting it back up right away, just because that's the way I am. No, I'm super busy, so a lot of time I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
Like, even a couple minutes some days is crazy, but
I usually don't get any free time until about 10 or 11 p.m., and sometimes you're just exhausted by that point.
Yeah, dude, it's hard sometimes.
But anyways, so then we moved the files to my servers temporarily. And then all you guys are, there's way more of you fuckers listening than we thought, and I used up a quarter of my monthly bandwidth in 2 days. So thanks for listening, that's awesome, but we had to get the files back onto Joel's servers right away.
Yeah.
Because he has unlimited bandwidth on his servers.
Yeah, that's Squarespace, man. That's like, it's crazy stuff. Squarespace is an amazing site.
I have unlimited bandwidth on one of my server farms, but it's really unreliable and goes down all the time, so I wouldn't want to put the podcast on it.
No, Squarespace has never been down.
I know, yeah. When you got an organization like that, it's never going to be down.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you ever need a site and don't Yeah, I don't know if I should say. Well, yeah, whatever. What's going on? What are you doing?
I just turned up.
Yeah. I'm a little too quiet.
Exciting podcast this is.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little tired myself, but you had a revelation on the way over here telling me what the hell was that about.
Okay, this is my revelation. I don't know if I've mentioned on the podcast before, but I'm having a lot of problems writing new jokes in the past 6 months. You know?
No, I didn't even know that.
Great things happened for me in comedy. I've gotten to open for Doug Stanhope. I got signed by Yuck Yucks. But for some reason, I'm just in... It's not writer's block, because I can write jokes that are like 10, 15 seconds long, but I just don't have any bits anymore. I can come up with good one-liners and stuff, but not the nice long bits that a comedian really goes for. And I thought it was that I just couldn't write, but what I realize it is that I'm bored of myself.
Yeah.
I'm bored of my character. I'm bored of the Derek Sweet character on stage. It's not the material I'm bored of. I'm bored of being that guy on stage who is me. And they always say the secret to doing comedy is being yourself on stage, which is true. At first, I think you got to get really comfortable, but to really excel, you got to become a character.
Yeah.
You know, it's a major part of that, right? And I'm not really that much of a character naturally. You know, I'm a bit of an eccentric guy, but not a character. I don't know, maybe. Whatever. But the point is, I guess
sometimes
we did
you're a fucking character.
Sometimes I'm a character. We based a character in our show on me, I guess. But anyway, so the point that I'm getting at here, though, is that I'm bored of being myself. So instead of trying to write new jokes, I'm going to make a new character and a new stage name. Completely name, wear
a new
wig.
Stage name, even.
New stage name, wig, fucking makeup, all the weird shit that I've wanted to do for a while. Makeup in the sense of like I want to write fuck on my forehead or something like that.
Remember that crazy fucker that used to be at Yuck Yucks? He used to wear those crazy masks all the time. Yeah. And he'd always tell that dark shit about how he wanted to kill himself and stuff.
I heard about this guy. I never saw him.
Oh, he was that was a character, man.
Right. So that, you know, I'm not saying about I'm going to change my act. That's not what I'm doing, but I'm going to do this as an experiment. Completely go on stage with a completely different appearances from how I look.
What's your new stage name going
to
be?
Damien James, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get them to introduce, like, I'm going to go all goth. Like, I'm going to.
I think I would have guessed Damien.
I know, right?
I should have guessed Damien.
It's an old handle of mine, right? So I'm going to go with that. But then go all goth, like, and do a totally different character and have them introduce me as, like, the Lord of Darkness, Damien James, or something like that, right? Something really cheesy, and go up and try and do something really fucking weird.
Yeah.
Right? That is totally not me and totally out of my norm, and try and write as that character. And then I think somewhere down the line I'll find a middle between who I really am and who this odd character I came up was. And then have a real, genuine stand-up personality that I can do as myself.
Can you classify that as a revelation until it comes true? Like,
no, it's a revelation. The revelation was that I realized that I'm not bored of comedy. I'm bored of
being that's
myself.
The revelation.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was like, to try and escape this of being bored of myself, I need to try being somebody else for a little while.
So this is for you more than anything.
Yeah. Well, I think what it'll do is it'll let me understand where I, like... I don't know what it'll do.
When you pull them out, man, let me know. I want to see.
Soon. I'm going to go, in a couple Mondays, I'm going to do Comedy Monday night. And I'm not going to tell any other comics I'm doing it. I'm just going to tell the guy running the room, tell him I'm introduces this name, and then 5 minutes before I go on stage, going in the bathroom, putting on a whole costume.
Nice.
And then just walking out. And all the comics are going to be like, what the fuck?
Nice.
Right?
All right.
And then go up, and then I'm either going to write 5 brand new minutes, which means it'll take a while, or I may just go up and do my existing material in a different character. So we'll see. But that's the revelation.
Right on, man. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So, you want to talk some video games?
Yeah.
What is this Cities XL bullshit?
Oh, my God. Okay, so here's the situation. I bought Cities XL 2010.
What is Cities XL 2010?
It's like
SimCity. I've never even heard of it. Oh, okay.
It's like the first competition.
You're a big
SimCity
Sim guy, eh?
Well, I like it. I don't know why. I find it relaxing. You build the city, and then you just watch your little people walk around, and you kind of feel like God. You do. You got, it's relaxing. You watch all you're like, you're my minions. If I want to destroy you with a tornado, I can. But I'll just reload the save game and bring it back.
I got to mention, before we continue on with the Cities XL, that one really cool thing that you did with your Sims one time was in, what's that game called?
Sim Societies? Or?
No, not Sim Societies. Where you did comedy online.
Oh, Second Life.
Goddamn Second Life.
I'm kind of embarrassed of those months.
I thought it was really interesting, though, man, like how you actually performed comedy in Second Life.
Yeah, with a microphone, so it was voice, and I had an avatar on a virtual stage. And back in the day when I was an amateur, my first 6 months, I was getting 30 minutes of time in Second Life. There was no way you're getting 30 minutes of time in your first 6 months in real life, right? So I was like, it gave me a lot of opportunity to, and you know, people would type LOL.
Test out your shit.
And we made little buttons that they could click on that would make laughter happen. Yeah. If more people click the button, then there would be more laughter and stuff like that. So it was interesting that way. We set up this little comedy club, and yeah, I got a lot of great practice.
I heard of comics nowadays doing like an online thing. I can't remember what the service is called. It's kind of like Skype, but it's not Skype. It's something else, where they can perform in front of like 100, 200 people live, online.
I had that idea a couple years ago. I took it to my bosses. They said it was stupid.
Apparently
they
not.
They didn't say it was stupid. They just showed me a bunch of other people that had tried something similar and how it had failed.
All right, back to the Cities XL.
Cities XL. So I bought Cities XL, the first version, and it was okay. I kind of enjoyed it, but the online component wasn't what they promised. I thought I was going to have like a neighboring city that I could go drive and visit, and it was another player. That's what they kind of made it seem like it was going to be.
Yeah.
And really, you could just trade with other cities. You couldn't even look at them. You could just trade with them, and it was really, that was lame, right?
Yeah.
I think maybe you could look at them. I can't remember. I remember I was just really disappointed in the online component. So this year, they came out with Cities XL 2011, and I was like, okay, I'll give it another chance. Gave it another chance. Literally turns my computer off when I try and play it.
Every time?
Every time I click the play button and go in.
What do you mean, Kay? What do you mean turns your computer off?
Turns the computer off. Like, it doesn't
shut, full shut down.
I'm sitting there. I press play. This planet comes up and it says pick where you want to start your city. And in about 5 seconds later, black screen, my computer's now rebooting. And doesn't even reboot sometimes. Sometimes just turns off. I have to hit the power button and start it again. Now, I have never seen a game fault a computer
that
badly.
That's ridiculous.
That's pretty insane. So what do you got to do to a computer? You got to overwrite the area of memory in the computer that is running the BIOS, the very basic parts of what tells a computer how to add two and two together. Those basic instructions must be getting overridden by this game somehow. I don't know how they do it. That's a pretty impressive feat, you got to admit.
They did accomplish something pretty incredible.
I'll say that about the people that made Cities XL. You crashed a computer like no one is supposed to be able to. You couldn't do that on a Mac. So,
you've yet to play this game then, obviously.
If I load the tutorial for 30 seconds and kind of browse around in a city in a tutorial for a while, I can be on the planet screen. I can exit and then go onto the planet screen for about 30 seconds before it crashes. So if I create my city really fucking fast,
you can play.
Then I can play.
Wow.
And it's pretty cool once you get past the horrific system crashes.
The huge workaround that you have to do in order to play.
Yeah, but anyways, that's enough about that. I like the size of cities it lets you build, and I'm looking forward to seeing.
Well, speaking of frustrations with games, I've absolutely had it with Fable 3, man.
Fable 3 is you're done, eh?
I'm fucking done,
trading in for Black Ops, eh?
Yeah, I'll be getting Black Ops this weekend.
Nice.
And we'll talk about that in a second, because I know you got it, but... Yeah. Yeah, Fable 3, it's just, I don't understand. It's like Fable for Dummies.
They tried to simplify it.
Simplify it so much that you just don't have to think.
Well, let's talk about the potions. The potions and the food, that's a perfect example. You had
perfect
no
example.
Way of knowing until you were almost dead that you had no
that
food
I didn't
or
even have any food or potions, unless I was paying attention to before, you know, unless I noticed that, okay, yeah, I ran out and I got to go pick up some more. But the only way you can access your items is when the computer tells you you can. And then you can press on the D-pad.
Which is great if you accompany it with a menu that you can see how many you have so that when that situation arises, you know it's there.
I don't even think it's great because, for example, to open one of the demon doors, you need to be fat. And one of the ways of getting fat is eating some food. So I went out and bought some pies and then... This is when I discovered this whole thing. I bought some pies, and I was like, well, wait a second. How do I eat these fucking pies, man? I don't know. I like went into the sanctuary, went into every single room. There's absolutely no way of seeing your inventory other than your weapons and clothes and shit like that.
Which is a big virtual room, which is kind of cool, but impractical.
Yeah. So then the only way of doing it is by getting injured in a fight. And then the computer or the Xbox says, okay, yeah,
you eat your pies now.
That's amazing. Yeah. You can see what he was going for, because until you needed to eat the pies to get fat, you didn't even notice it, because you were only presented with the option to use the food when you needed it. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, why give the user the option to eat a pie when they don't need to heal?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's what he was
But then what did he totally forget about? Like, oh yeah, shit, demon doors. And I guess you do have to eat food at certain
I'm sure
times.
It came up in a meeting, but they were like a week from deadline, and they were like, okay, we'll just make it so they have to get hurt and eat the pie. We'll pretend that we designed it that way. But yeah.
Yeah, they took out all the best things and made it so simple that I didn't die once. I finished the game. I didn't die a single time. I'm just going to go back to maybe playing Fable 2 again.
Yeah.
Or just fuck Lionhead altogether. And the slowdown.
The co-op's better, though, eh?
Co-op's better, but the slowdown, barely. Yeah. I mean, barely. The only thing that's really better about the co-op is it's a free camera now.
Like, each person gets their own camera.
Yeah, each person has their own camera now.
Yeah, that's inexcusable that it was never in the first one.
So, and I think that's pretty much the only improvement, other than you can get married and have partnerships. But really, I had a partnership with Erickson the whole time. I don't ever think I felt the effects of it. Like, I don't even know what the partnership was or what we did.
You were sharing money. Half of all the money you made goes to him.
I guess so, but I didn't really ever notice that. Hmm. Speaking of which, the whole ending scene pointless to me as well, but I won't ruin anything else other than that.
It's not too much to say, I don't think, that there was not enough of a difference between the good and the evil path, in your opinion.
In the end, as you were playing it, it was like, oh shit, this is going to be so hard. And then, you know, at the end, it's like, whoa, wait. What happened there? Huh. But anyway, what's up with Black Ops?
I'm loving Black Ops. It's the first time I've ever played an FPS, and I just went straight to multiplayer. Didn't even play single player the first night.
Yeah.
And then I've checked out single player since, and it also was very cool. It's kind of like playing Modern Warfare more than the earlier Call of Duties, because it takes place in the Cold War era with the Cuban Missile Crisis. Like, the first mission is kill Fidel Castro.
Nice.
Which is wicked, right?
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of really
cool... Actually, things. I heard that Cuba's all pissed off about that.
Really?
Yeah. Where did I read that? I read that somewhere, that Cuba's all pissed off about that now. It's like, whoa, are you serious? A country is really getting mad because of a video game?
Well, you'd think they'd be like, thank you for showing that your government has been trying to covertly try kill our politicians. You'd think they'd be welcoming it, because that's exactly what the game's suggesting, is that you are a U.S. CIA agent that has been sent to kill Fidel Castro, which is what they claim happens, and the U.S. says, no, it doesn't, and then now here a game comes, and they're like, oh, we don't like that. You fucking idiots. Embrace it and say, yes, we told you.
See? We told you, fuckers. That's funny. So, anyway, what else?
Well, the multiplayer is just incredible. The contracts is so awesome. You, pay money to take a contract, so you give 25. Well, the currency system first, let's talk about. So every time you play the game, not only are you earning experience, you're earning money, too. I haven't figured out exactly what earns money and what doesn't.
It's not very clear.
No, it doesn't explain it. I bet you it might on one of the, the detail pages, but I've just always, next game,
yeah.
I don't look. But, I'm sure there's an explanation somewhere in the manual or something, but you get money and experience, and then the money, instead of just being given weapons as you level up, you unlock the ability to buy them, and you'd think that you can just go and spend cash on anything, but no, man, it's expensive. I'm level 18, and I have 3 guns, and I have two, what's it called? The scopes, the adjustments.
Yeah.
Attachments. I've got 2 attachments for each of those 3 guns, and I've bought probably 4 perks, and that's it. To level 18, that's all I've been able to afford.
Yeah.
There's lots of guns that I've been unable to unlock and even use yet. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool, man.
And then when you get your gun, when you spend the money on it, you buy the attachments, put it on it, you can like paint your logo on the side of it and stuff. You can make totally custom logos now. But the wager matches I haven't even tried yet. You don't unlock those till like level 15, and I just unlocked that. But I've done a bare bones match, which is awesome. No kill streaks, no perks, just the guns and the grenades.
No kill streaks or perks.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you earn money and experience as you're doing it, so it's the same as playing the normal game.
And in the normal game, the kill streaks now no longer count towards your next kill streak, right?
They do contribute to your points, but they don't contribute to your next kill streak. So you still have to get manually those kills in your kill streak.
Big improvement,
huge improvement, yeah. And the RC cars, funnest thing in an FPS game ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get three kills in your kill streak. Two, there's a perk that you can get that requires one less kill streak thing, and since I suck, I took it because I like my kill streak rewards. So I kill two guys and I get a little RC car, and it's like, and you like drive it around, wait till you see a guy, then you go for bam and blow up, kill. And you get a kill, right? It's a wicked little reward. But you can't have the spy plane if you have that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to choose between RC car and spy plane. And that's another thing the whole currency system now unlocks, is you unlock kill streak rewards, and you get to choose which kill streak reward you have at each step.
Nice.
And then you can completely design custom logos, like up to 10 layers with like hundreds of images to choose from, combinations of images. I've seen people that made little skulls with beards and horns and stuff like that.
So really?
Yeah, and that's like their logo. So then you get like a custom plating as well. So you got your logo, your name, and then a plating that's all behind it. And there's hundreds of platings that you can unlock, which you also have to purchase. Mine's like a big skeleton. So when I kill somebody, they see like a big skeleton on a black thing, and then it has like my logo there. Mm-hmm. And then you can take that logo and put it on the side of your gun and paint it. So as you're walking, you see your logo on your gun.
Awesome.
And stuff. Like, they've done a lot to make it really feel like you're your own unique dude in the game.
So yeah, that's pretty cool, man.
So that's multiplayer.
I can't wait to get it. I'm getting it tomorrow, so nice. I can't fucking wait to get it.
And the multiplayer, I mean, the single player is just... I've only seen four levels, but every level's been really fun. Like, really action, huge explosions, rah, crazy chaos, can't believe what's going on, then, like, massive dramatic finish to each level.
And there's supposedly another huge controversial
episode. No, I don't know if there is.
Episode.
I just assume that you're somehow going to be involved in the JFK assassination, since JFK plays a really significant part in the game.
A big role in it.
Yeah, and it takes place right around
that time. That'd be my
guess, then. What's that?
That'd be my guess, too, then.
Yeah,
God, I can't wait to get it tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it's good. And zombies.
Well,
dude,
yeah,
the co-op zombies
makes the game better than zombies, man.
I've played solo zombies by myself and had a lot of fun, so I can't wait to get on there with you and do some co-op zombies.
And that's just open rate from the start?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's wicked.
I really wish I had gone. I had the chance to get the Prestige Edition with the little RC car. Now that I've seen the RC cars in the game, man, I wish I really had one.
What were you going to do with that RC car?
I don't care. It's just like, you I look
chase,
at it, I'd be like, there's my little
chase RC. Hunter around your condo.
Hunter would freak out over that thing. So anyways, enough about Call of Duty. It's exceptional. I think it's, so far, the best Call of Duty game, even beating Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
But I have to see the full single-player experience before I could say that, because one of my favorite things about the Modern Warfare series is how good that single-player campaign is.
Well, the fact alone that it's just Call of Duty and they're improving on the whole killstreak thing alone just has me psyched.
They clearly focused on multiplayer for this one. Single-player was a side note.
And I mean, well, single-player, that just... I only play single-player. I'm kind of like you. The first thing I'll do is come home, pop it in, and I'll play single player straight through, you know,
mm-hmm.
just to get it done, just to get a kind of a feel for the game and get into it,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll go to multiplayer right after that.
Yeah, well, I did the opposite this time. I went right into multiplayer because I was like, you know what?
I might do the same this time too.
I recommend it. I really do. Because playing that single player, it makes the multiplayer not as novel and fun when you go back to it, because you just played 10 hours of that exact same engine.
Yeah, that's
so true. I'm telling you, like, I'm having a lot more fun in multiplayer. I'm level 18 already. That's like that's high for me. You know how quickly I give up on these games.
Speaking of which, Mag got a 2.0. Huge update. That
huge, like as much of an update as Call of Duty just got.
Yeah.
But it's free.
Yeah. Have you already downloaded it and
no,
got it?
No, I haven't seen it. I can't remember the features of it.
Yeah, I was telling you, I can't find my mag. I don't know where it went. It's got to be around here somewhere. Yeah, these cats did something with it.
Yeah, your cats stole the video game.
Man, I wouldn't doubt it.
But how?
You wouldn't believe some of the stuff I find underneath this couch, or they knock over all my DVDs there all the time.
Hey, you got Ghostbusters?
My little Jesus action figure and Einstein, even Wally up there.
I didn't know you had Force Unleashed. I was trying to buy that a couple months ago. You should have sold it to me.
Really?
So yeah, what's next on the game agenda? Do we have anything else to talk about?
Not really. I haven't been, like, I've just been waiting for Black Ops to come out, and that's about it. I haven't been playing anything else besides Super Meat Boy still.
Oh yeah, I finished Hell today.
Did you finish Hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a tough level, man.
I love how the next level's Rapture. He kills everybody, and the next level is like Christian Rapture. I'm like, this game's fucked up.
It is. Oh god, I can't get enough of it. It's easily one of the best platformers. I don't know why there's a huge thing about why it didn't come out on Sony for PlayStation.
I would hate to try and use a PlayStation joystick in that game.
Oh, it'd be terrible.
Yeah.
It's coming up for PC though.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, a keyboard would be great for it.
Yeah, so that's all I've really been playing, man, still.
Meat Boy.
Is Super Meat Boy, and just finished Fable 3 the other day, even though I couldn't stand it. Like, halfway through, I was hating it.
Yeah.
But I just kind of grind through and finished it off.
If you had borrowed it, you would have been done. You would have stopped. It's when you spend money on it, you feel like, well, I might as well get 10 hours.
Plus, it's still the complete. Well, you saw me. I was still playing it when you came over.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say I'm done with it, because I was still playing it just to get achievements, just because I'm not fucked up for some reason. I need achievements and to try to complete it 100%, even though I hate it.
How many hours did it take to finish?
Not long at all. I think it was only four. No, about probably. I think it was 14 to 18, around that area.
Man, I am 40 hours into Fallout New Vegas and still maybe halfway through.
Really?
Yeah. I'm taking my time. I'm doing a lot of side plots, but man, that game, there's so much to do.
Yeah, it's a big game.
You got to play Oblivion.
Go back and play Oblivion, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is something I want to talk about. You said you can't play games, and this is interesting that you say it. You said, I can't play games that I haven't played before that have worse graphics, previous generations. If you had played it, I could easily go back and play it,
yeah.
Which is true, because I went back and played Another World, or Out of This World, if you live in Europe, and the graphics are, you know, really dated, but I loved it.
Yeah.
But I had played it before. And then there was something else. Oh, yeah, then I played this game today in arcade, a downloaded arcade game, and it was a shooter, but you're a ninja that's running.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I could see if I had played this, I would love playing it again.
I would love it. I had the exact same thought. I was like, wow, if I used to play this, I'd probably pick this up. Because
it was cool, wasn't it?
Seeing I'd never played this before. It was fun. I had fun playing the demo, for sure. Can't remember what it was called, though. Guraga
or something,
Yeah.
Something weird.
But,
so I think that's interesting that it is difficult to play a game with bad graphics that comes from a previous generation, although I have played a couple. You know, I'm playing GoldenEye for Wii, and that's really fun.
Yeah.
So, and the graphics are nowhere near 360 quality, right?
Well, that's
But it's good for Wii.
What was coming out for Wii that looked amazing? Oh, Sonic. The new Sonic, yeah.
How about that, eh? A new Sonic that doesn't suck. They understand the mistakes they've made. It seems they're finally...
It looked awesome, man.
My favorite thing the reviewer said is, Sonic hasn't annoyed me this much since he started talking, pretty much. And I was like, yes, did they fix that? They took away all the stupid and annoying cutscenes?
They took out a lot of the characters. There's only Sonic and Tails now.
I think I might pick it up.
Yeah, I think I might too.
Huh.
Be interesting. Well, I'll let you pick it up first.
Full price, though, I don't know. What's that?
I said I'll let you pick it up first.
Yeah, and then borrow it from you. I was looking forward to borrowing Fable, but apparently that's being traded in, so.
Well, we'll see if your tip works, if your tip is true. I'm going in tomorrow. I don't think it's been a month since Fable been out.
I took Enslaved back in, and it was still only 20, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. We'll see tomorrow, man. I might not be getting Black Ops.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. So I don't want to tell you about this one. Kind of got me thinking the other day. I was on Facebook, and one of my old buddies announced on Facebook, had it as a status, is so happy to finally come out of the closet.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a lot of people like, oh, yeah, like, comments like, way to go, blah, way to go, dude. I'm not going to mention his name. And
why can't you mention his name?
Well, because, I don't know. I don't want to.
He publicly came out of the closet. Okay, I guess, all right, you can tell
me. I'm not done the story, dude.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So then the next day, obviously his status was, must remember to log out of Facebook.
Oh.
You know, so, but that just had me thinking. It's like, well, first of all, it had me thinking when I first saw it, because I was one of the believers. I was like, oh, dude, congrats, man. Like, that's awesome. And then I was like,
hilarious.
Well, that's kind of weird. You know, the guy's like 31 years old. He's just coming out of the closet. What, he wasted his fucking life, man. He was hiding this from his friends. Like, yeah. I can understand maybe his parents, but he's been hiding it from all his friends. What the fuck, man? What has he been doing? Like, he's been depriving himself all these years.
Dude, the fear that they have is unbelievable to come out of the closet, though. It was fake, but...
Yeah, but and then realizing it was fake the next day, I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, first of all, that's kind of harsh that somebody can just, like, go onto your Facebook now and, like, start these rumors, and all your friends are just going to believe it right away instead of questioning, okay, wait a second. Obviously, I've known this dude forever. He's 30 years old. There's no way he's coming out of the closet now, you know.
Yeah.
And assuming somebody must have logged into his Facebook, I automatically assume, oh, he is? Yeah, he's gay. That's awesome.
That's
obviously
funny.
He's gay. His Facebook status said so.
That's hilarious.
It's like, why do we take that? I've heard of news stories being started
because of
Twitter rumors.
Yeah, no, there's a good joke going on in the Calgary comedy community right now that a lot of comics don't like to take their phones on stage, right? Because they don't want it vibrating, distracting them.
Yeah.
Or they don't want it bulging in their pockets or something. So they leave their phones in the green room. And the manager of one of the clubs and a couple of the other comics have been picking people's phones up and saying, I'm quitting comedy. I'm a hack. I can't make people laugh. I'm done.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for that. And they wrote that on, like, on Mario's wall. And Mario got, like, 5 phone calls from supportive comments, comics going, like, yeah, you know, we've all been there, man, because all of us have been there when we're like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I suck. I'm quitting. I'm not doing this anymore.
You know? Yeah.
And I was one of the people that called him, and he's like, and then he's like, hold on a second, I got another call. And he's like, whoa, that was another person. He's like, whoa, I'm getting another call. And it was weird how it started. He felt so good afterwards, after this prank. He's like, wow, I can't believe all these people cared enough about me to call me within 15 seconds. Like, they saw it and they called and they were like, hey, man, no, I'm here for you. You can't quit.
Yeah.
Because comics stick together like that. It's weird.
Yeah,
so,
it's a weird. It's a crazy close community, man.
In Calgary, it is. I hear it's terrible.
I think it's like that everywhere. I hear some terrible things
about Vancouver. In Toronto, but
really,
I don't know. They would be there for you if you needed to be, but apparently they form little cliques, and certain cliques only go to certain rooms. And
cliques. You're saying cliques?
Cliques. I did say. I've never known how to pronounce that.
It's like, what, cliques? Do you fucking?
They're going to, like, makeup cliques, you know? Cliques. I don't know. I'm retarded.
So I don't know, dude. Like. Are you naive, or is the other guy just an asshole?
What?
For some guy telling you something that's just outrageous, or not necessarily outrageous, but a lie, you know, and then you believe it because you trust the person.
But he didn't
tell
it to you.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this. Forget about the whole gay thing and the whole gay shit. I'm just saying, say some guy came up to you and told you a lie, and you believed it, and then he's like, ah, you believe me. It's like, you're fucking naive, little bitch. You know?
No.
It's like, are you naive, or is the guy just an ass?
No, it's amazing. It's amazing you're saying this, because I was getting out of the shower this morning and I had the exact same thought, because I'm very gullible.
Yeah.
And I had the exact same thought. I phrased it differently. I said, am I gullible, or do I just trust that my friends aren't going to lie to me?
Yeah,
no, I had the exact same thought this morning. It's true. It's like, no, I'm a nice person and I give people the benefit of the doubt because I have hopeful opinions. I have hopeful outlook on the future of mankind, and I hope that people aren't going to be trying to fuck me over. Right?
And that just got me thinking about the whole, like, all this photo, all this, you know, all the fake shit you see on the internet all the time, you know, and why not in the future? How come, you know, if some something catastrophic happens, you know, like some post-apocalyptic thing, and then there is some kind of remnants. And it's like, how come these people aren't going to, like, now take that as history, you know? And then, you know, like, why weren't there, maybe there were assholes in back in, you know, obviously there were assholes back times, and maybe the people that have been writing history this whole time have just been this total asshole playing a prank on somebody.
Dude, you got to write this down, because you just came up with a fantastic premise for a film. A society where the only record of what was left after a major disaster is Facebook.
It's Facebook.
That is a fucking awesome
premise. That's my idea. We got it recorded right now. Man, so you've been watching Walking Dead?
Yeah. I liked that second episode, man. I liked, although, you know what I don't understand? And this happens in movies. The guy's clearly racist and is going to shoot a black person if he wants to.
Yeah.
Why does anybody have a problem killing him?
Yeah.
Why don't they just shoot that guy as soon as they have the opportunity? You know,
he's exactly. Clearly... And why did the black guy? There's no way.
Yeah, the black guy
would
all
ever at the end be sympathetic and feel bad all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That guy is going to die or most likely die. You know, but I thought it was brilliant how they finally. Address the how do zombies know the difference between the zombies and real people?
Yeah, my two biggest complaints in zombie films. One, how do they know who's a zombie and who's not? And two is how come no one in a zombie film has ever heard of a zombie before? Like they've never seen 30 films. It's 2010. Just once, I want a character in a film to go, it's a fucking zombie. You've never heard of a goddamn zombie. You're so surprised by this, but you were talking about the smell.
The smell and how it was cool how they got around that fact of and how they figured it out
covering themselves in zombie
it's obviously
guts.
The smell
it's what my dog does when my dog comes across I got something to talk about in that regard but when my dog comes across a dead animal he rolls in it to cover and I looked it up on the internet and it's to cover their scent so that they can hunt more effectively.
Nice.
Yeah,
well, your dog is a hunter.
Yeah, speaking of which, I had a major philosophical moment a couple days ago. I was taking for a walk and he was burrowing in the grass and shaking his tail. So I knew there was something in there, a mouse or something. I was like, what, is it a mouse? Is it a mouse? Is there a mouse in there? And he shakes his tail. Then I heard a little squeak. And I was like, whoa, there really is a mouse in there. And Hunter got really excited.
Nice.
And then the mouse tried to make a run for it across the sidewalk. And Hunter went after it and killed it.
Really?
Caught the mouse and killed it. And brought it back, and it was shaking on the ground in front of me, traumatically. Yeah. Like, and I realized at that moment, Hunter didn't
kill the mouse.
No. I let Hunter go back and crunch it one more time, and he killed it really good. But I realized shortly after thinking about it, how horrible. I was excited at first because I liked that he was fulfilling his instinctual imperative. Mm-hmm. And capturing and killing the mouse. That's what he was bred to do.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll make him happy and let him fulfill his instinct for once in his life. He's never actually killed something before. But then when I saw the animal suffering, I instantly flipped the mother instinct. And I was like, oh, that poor little cute animal, right? And that's when I realized, and I apologized to the mouse when I saw it convulsing. I said, I'm so sorry, little mouse. I didn't think, right? And I realized my dog didn't kill the mouse. I killed the mouse. I used my dog as a weapon.
Yeah.
I could have stopped him. I could have pulled on the leash and stopped him from doing that. I had 3 or 4 chances to stop him, and I let him kill that
mouse. You wanted to see, man. Yeah.
I know. I wanted to see it, and then I was horrified, right? So I was like, it's this weird balance in humanity where you have the hunter instinct, and then you have the motherly caring for instinct. When you see the cute little animal, you're like, oh, that's...
Yeah, the exact same thing happened to me almost, except it was with a cat, and... Yeah. I saw the cat go for the mouse. I was like, nice. Yeah, go get him. And then he got him, and I was like, and then he left him. He left him for dead pretty much. And I was like, oh, you bastard. I'm going to have to kill this mouse now. I can't sit here and let this mouse suffer on the cement here.
Yeah.
So I had to get in my car and like run the mouse over. And as I was doing it, I was like, oh, no. Oh, this is so terrible.
Man.
But,
so it's a terrible thing, and I realized I'm never doing it again. I'll never let him kill another animal again because I was like, there's no reason that mouse had to suffer like that for my entertainment, which is all it was for, by the way.
Well, he's a mouse, and he's carries disease, and
I don't care. I don't, you know, regardless of all that, people are like, it's a pest. This was a mouse in a field that wasn't in somebody's house, just trying to live its life, and it suffered unnecessarily solely for my entertainment, and that's not cool. That's not cool. It's not
if it was fulfilling some kind of instinct in Hunter, and he did for the, you don't think that enjoyment for Hunter
maybe
was worth it?
Maybe.
But finally, he got to kill something and be like, yes, this is that hunger I've been feeling this whole time.
Well, this is the difference. If Hunter was off the leash and he had done it, I would have no qualms about it. But the fact of the matter is, I was the one that made the decision to let the mouse die. It wasn't Hunter. I used him as a weapon. The fact that he actually did it.
Well, you could have pulled him away, but I don't necessarily think you made the decision to kill it.
I did. I had three or four opportunities, and I knew what Hunter was going to do if he caught that thing, and I let him do it. I could have pulled him off, but I did it because I wanted to see it. Well, no, it's because I wanted him to fill his instinctual imperative. That's really what it was.
And I think he made the right choice.
I don't know, man. I don't know. All I know is I'm never letting
Hunter
him do it again.
Hunter thinks he made the right choice.
Hunter was so mad I didn't let him eat the corpse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I guarantee you he was. He's like, you've... Bastard, man. I killed this guy.
Yeah.
You're not going to let me finish him off and eat him and let me enjoy my kill now?
Yeah, and I went back and looked at the corpse today because there's part of me that wanted to think that maybe he didn't actually kill it and it got away.
Yeah.
But I went back and the corpse was still there and he wanted to eat it again.
Oh, he still wanted to eat that shit. Yeah.
He was like, there it is again. And he had another opportunity. He couldn't believe I was dragging him away again. He's like, you fucker. I can't believe this.
I wonder if it's how long it's going to sit there.
Yeah. Well, no, it'll be there until some bird comes and eats it.
Yeah.
And then its bones will stay there for a while. And I've seen it before. I walk Hunter every day. So I watch corpses of squirrels and rabbits decompose all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Every day I watch them, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's decomposed a little bit more. Something must have eaten that part of it.
So before we go, we should probably wrap this up
soon. Yeah, it's getting fucking long.
But I wanted to, as we were talking about Walking Dead, I seriously thought it was the first zombie series ever on TV until you let me know about Dead Set, which is a British series out of the UK, obviously. And
if to quickly sum up, the concept is everybody in the world's getting eaten by zombies except for the people on the Big Brother set.
Yeah, yeah. And they're the only survivors right now. Yeah. And which I thought was such a... At first, I thought it was going to be they're getting voted out or something every week. But then
I thought they weren't going to know for at least a few
episodes.
But then
I thought about it, and that concept doesn't work at all. It's like, well, wait a second. How come they don't know, and they're just like purposely letting these people get voted out and eaten by zombies? What the fuck is going on?
I was the one that told you that, and it goes to show how little I've seen of Big Brother, because I don't watch that shit.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe that the people in the house had no communication with the outside world at all until they walked out that door. I thought that's kind of
that is how it is.
No, because the person comes on the mic and talks to them and tells them it's time to vote people out. And
well, yeah, I guess
gives
so.
Them basic instructions.
Yeah, true. And well, anyway, what did you think? I did not like it. I saw the first couple episodes and actually three episodes. You know,
I thought the execution was horrible.
Oh, terrible! I hate that shaky cam shit, dude.
The directing,
I think that's
horrible.
Just
the shaky,
lazy filmmaking.
It is. That's exactly what it is. It's like we can't
I get what they're going for. They're trying to get for that intense shit, and you know, it's like it's crazy and chaotic.
Well, and it's lack of gore. They don't have the budget to have
exactly, and that's why they do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, but aside from that, badly written, badly performed, badly directed, badly lighted. The lighting was horrible through the whole thing. It's like, honestly,
but I find that with a lot of British stuff.
Yeah, they just don't have the budget of American stuff. But even some Canadian Pironage looked fine. I had no complaints.
Yeah.
Did we even talk about how Pironage wanted Gemini?
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
on
no,
that
that's
for,
awesome.
To the directors, Jeff and Jared, and the director
McDonald,
all got
yeah.
that right.
No, I think it was just Ian McDonald, the director for episode 6. One for best director.
Oh, really? I thought Jeff and Jared were in that as well.
Well, they were up for best writing and for best comedy, but they didn't win for that. Only best director won. Huh. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's still awesome, yeah.
Congrats.
Officially the
rest
of development of Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway... let's wrap this shit up.
Yeah.
Who wants to take the fucking? Let's get some Hatsune Miku to take us out of here.
Hatsune Miku.
This was.
This has been stuck in the middle of somewhere.
It's been stuck in the middle of somewhere, and I'm Joel F. Gardner. This is my buddy Derek Sweet.
Yeah, the Sweet Comedian on Twitter, and you're Joel Gardner on Twitter.
Yeah, you betcha.
All right,
anyway,
cool. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Or you get out of here. Get out of my house. Get the fuck out of my house.